When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And shall we also read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 5. In verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the word which we have before us and which we have read. And we ask that you will grant us a blessing this morning. Help us to think. Shake us up, we pray, to the realization of the wonderful gift which we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all these things which you have given to us so freely and abundantly, for we ask it in your name. Amen. Ruth and I are sorry that, as far as we know, this is our last Sunday with you at Bethany. We've been away so often that we feel kind of guilty, but I don't think we can do very much about that because our absences were entirely legitimate as far as I know. But nevertheless, we're sorry we weren't here more often. We thank you for all that you've done for us and for your prayers. Quite a surprise that we're to see you all on Wednesday. We'll look forward to that. Now, this perhaps will be a rather unusual message because it is about one man, most of it is, a man that I knew in Africa. You know, missionaries are human beings, and we have our likes and dislikes. And that applies to people. We're humanists. Dr. Kawunda of Zambia is a great humanist, and I think he means it. But I don't think he appreciates entirely what the word means. God made man. And every man is precious in his sight. It doesn't matter what his intelligence is. It doesn't make much difference whether he's a cripple or whether he is poor or rich. God made that man and he loves him. Well, you say that's something we all know and have known for a long time. But occasionally, we get quite a shock. In one of the occasions when we lost luggage and was recovered in Israel, I had to go in a taxi to get it. And I got into this taxi because that was the best way to go, and there was a man sitting beside me. I like to converse with people, and so I asked him where he was going. He said, "That's my business." And then, in order to drive the nail a little further in, he repeated and said, "Where I'm going is none of your business, it's my own." Well, I don't know whether his shoes hurt him or what the matter was, but we certainly didn't continue the conversation. It was over. I didn't like it, and I didn't like him. And it was quite a little while before I realized that at least I could pray for him. And I've done that since. I don't know who he is or whether he's still alive or anything else. But I didn't like him. Well, you say missionaries say they love the people of the countries in which they work. They do. I assure you of that. But occasionally we have our problems. And there was a man who came into my life that I didn't like. He was a well-built, intelligent African. Over here you would call him black, but he was the kind of a man who wasn't satisfied with anything. I don't blame him. We pity many of our black people. They want so much. They have so very little. And life has awarded them less than they had before. But as missionaries, we're more interested in pointing them to a world to come. We help the sick and the weary and the hungry, but we can't do very much more than that. Well, Chinyama was the kind of a person who was not satisfied. As jobs go at the school where I was working, he was reasonably well paid, had a number of this world's goods. One would have thought should have been satisfied. Well, there he was. Whenever it was a question of pay, whenever it was a question of something being lost, he immediately took offense. Well, there wasn't any real trouble, but the ladies didn't like him either because they had to deal with him more than I did. I admired his physique. I admired him as a marvelous specimen of the Bantu, the Lunda tribe. And he would have enjoyed my saying that. But if I had called him a Lavali, he would have been quick to tell me that I was wrong. Because although he was an African and a black, he had no use for anybody of any other tribe. The white people brought money. All the other people in Africa, except his own tribe, didn't amount to much. Well, I don't suppose that you would have liked him too well either. But you know, God's word makes it very clear to you, as I've already said, that God loves men. But the great majority of people in this world can be included in what we call the ungodly, because they do not love God. The psalmist said, "The ungodly are not so, but are as the chaff which the wind driveth away." Something perhaps you've never seen, but I've seen it in Africa in that very primitive civilization. The wind blowing away this chaff, and you see it no more. And the Lord Jesus said these words. In this same chapter, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life." That included Chinyama. "I receive not honor from men, but I know that ye have not the love of God in you." Often I used to see Chinyama sleep through the meetings. Missionaries are great on meetings. We, after all, were there to preach the gospel. And I used to conduct these meetings too. After all, he took a well-deserved nap. I don't know that I blame him. He wasn't interested in what we had to say about spiritual things. Life to him was a matter of eating and drinking and so on. No, he didn't have the love of God in him. Now the Lord Jesus knew all about him. And the Lord Jesus knows all about me. And you know we have in John's Gospel these words referring to Jesus. "He needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." Those are significant words. And they remind us that even if God looks into our heart, he knows all that goes on there. He still loves us. Now the Lord Jesus also said these words, "There is nothing from without a man that entering in can defile him. The things which come out of him are those the things which defile the man," our hearts. You see, it isn't what God implants in us that defiles us, it's what comes out of our own heart. And that is the result of sin. Now, I think I can conclude by saying that the natural man cannot please God. And this man, Chinyama, couldn't please him either. Well, one day I heard a tremendous commotion coming from the vicinity of our compound. And I hurried over there because our dear African friends can be very volatile and turn very easily to the destructive things that men do to one another. So I hurried over, and it wasn't very serious. But again, our friend Chinyama was involved. There he was. As I came toward him, he held up a torn shirt. He had no shirt on his body. So I asked what the trouble was, and nearby was his wife weeping. And not very far away was a rather comely young African woman. Well, the story is simply this, that Chinyama had told his wife that he was going away to see if he could buy some fish, which Africans in our part of the world often do. But when he turned up, it wasn't fish he had. He brought with him a rather comely wife number two. Well, that couldn't happen here. At least the gentleman concerned would sit it out for a little while in the jail here or down Cook County or somewhere. Bigamy is not permitted, but it is polygamy is permitted in Africa. Well, you know, I really think that his wife had some kind of affection for him. And she just couldn't stand it anymore and She jumped on him and ripped the shirt right off of him. And that's what all the noise is about. He was yelling. His dignity had been thrown to the ground. What man could suffer indignities of that kind? To have a woman rip the shirt right off his back in front of other people. Well, I don't know. Not being a woman, I can hardly answer his question. But I rather thought that he had gone a little bit too far. And then, of course, he added those significant words, "No man can do this, have this done to him." He would have to divorce this woman. Which, and he did. Yes. Well, I felt sorry for the woman. It's not our job out there to enter into these family rows. They're too complicated. They have native law which deals with all of those things. But I like Chinyama less than I did before. Because he was an out-and-out hypocrite and liar. Well, we don't like to keep adding such nouns, but we have to, because that's precisely what it was. And of course, the Word of God makes it very, very clear. He was self-righteous. And most of us are like that. We find that we are. If we examine our hearts honestly, we find that we are. We don't like to be criticized. Fortunately, we accept the criticism of life and school, and we're rather upset because many young people are beginning to doubt the value of this discipline. The Word of God makes it very, very clear that we are hypocrites. We think that we are righteous and we are not. And when God looked down in the book of Genesis, it is recorded, when he looked down, he said, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually." Well, as you very well know, that's not only Africa. We have it over here, plenty of it, but that's what God said. And you know, in the Proverbs, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse, we have these words. "These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Proud look." Have you ever found yourself guilty of that? "A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that run swiftly to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Well, our friend Chinyama fitted into that. And some of us could say that we're not altogether guiltless of some of the things that are mentioned there. God hates sin. And it's in our hearts. Well, let's go back to our story. Chinyama had this nice young woman, wife number one, gone. Wasn't any problem, because Africa is a man's world. And he can do pretty much what he likes. That's the way it was. Well, I don't think that I even thought very much about him after this. He didn't listen to the preaching of the Word of God. He'd quite satisfied his own desires. Why should I worry about him? I don't even think that I prayed for him as an individual. We do, of course, pray for the Lord's blessing upon the ministry of His Word. And that was that. Well, the troubles with the ladies continued. He was dissatisfied with this and that, but he was a very good workman, so he stayed on. Most missionaries have difficult lives in this respect, that they can be called upon at any hour of the day or night to minister to the needs of our African friends. That's our work. And sometimes it becomes quite difficult. But I was teaching school, and that could be difficult too, because besides teaching school, I was sort of chief plumber, chief electrician, and chief a whole lot of other things. Sometimes the 24 hours of the day were far too short. One evening, I was in my office. I had finished marking papers. It was quite late, and I was tired. And then came a knock on the door. So I said, "Who's there?" And when the reply came, "Chinyama," I thought to myself, but I didn't say it, "You're the last one I want to see." I've always regretted that, even thinking of it. So I said, "I've been working and I'm tired. Come tomorrow and I'll talk to you," because I thought it was a matter of pay or something that one of the sisters had said. I wanted him to go. "No," I said, "I have to talk to you tonight." Well, that made it worse, because I wondered what other trouble he'd been into. So I said to him, "I really can't see you tonight unless it's very important." And then came those words, "I want to be saved." Now, this wasn't a question of the missionary going out to seek the lost. This was the lost coming to the missionary. Cart before the horse. Needless to say, it didn't take very long to open the door. It didn't take long to ask the Lord to forgive me for my abruptness. So we had a little talk, and I read a little scripture, and we kneeled down, and he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I think you can see where the verses that I've read are coming in now. See, the Lord Jesus loved that man. And he had all this unpleasantness about him. Person you wouldn't like, you couldn't respect, especially in our culture. But he had heard some. He'd slept through quite a few meetings. But obviously he'd heard something. And God's Holy Spirit was working in that man's heart. Well, you say, "Wouldn't it have been a good idea if you'd called him in earlier?" Ah, yes, afterthoughts are very interesting. Don't amount to very much. I've done that in the last few years out there, called in a great many friends to talk to them. But anyway, there it was. He accepted Christ as his personal Savior. And do you remember those words which we have read? Those beautiful words, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." The apostle Paul takes up that wonderful theme. He says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." And then Peter also said, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And that's what happened to Chinyama. All of that had gone. He had found Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Well, what about the rest of his life? He wasn't as troublesome anymore. He seemed to be much quieter. I don't remember anything troublesome about him. He tried to witness for Christ. His relatives knew that he was a Christian. And that's an important thing. And that was it. But not quite. I suppose about 18 months after this, I heard that he wasn't very well. He'd been into Killeney, and they had given him medicine. And we just thought that be back to work again. Another employee, he wasn't going to work again. People at Killeney knew what the trouble was. They sent him home to die. Because at that particular time, many years ago, TB patients didn't recover very quickly. We have built up a resistance to it. And the Africans are doing that now. But he didn't have that. So one day I went out to talk to him and kind of knew that he wasn't very well. He talked about the things of the Lord. And there's no doubt in my mind that he was a Christian. And then one day they said, well, people came and said that he's dead. That, in my mind, meant one of two things. He'd either expired or he was fainting. And I went out and knew that he wouldn't be in this scene very much longer. He was in something of a coma when I entered and sat down in this little house. Waited for a moment, and then he opened his eyes. He recognized me. And I asked him if he was trusting the Lord. And he said he was. And he said, I'm going to go to be with the Lord. He knew perfectly well that his days on this earth were numbered. Well, I sat for a little while. I realized he was in a coma again. Then I went away. And shortly after that, he died. Well, just one African? Not a very important one. But he was a man God made, God loved. Some of us in Africa, heartbroken, the way these terrorists line up innocent people and mow them down. After all, God made them. Whatever their culture might be, they are still people who have souls. But we can't enter into that. You know, the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. That included Chinyama. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And that man did that, and now he is in heaven, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Well, I often pass that way, I used to bicycle in those days to get from village to village. First there was just the mound, and then the grass grew. Then I had a little trouble finding it. But I always stayed there a minute to think and to pray. It's important for me, because I'd made a mistake, and I knew it. Well, that's the end of my story, so far as Chinyama is concerned. But it's not the end of him. Where is he now? Well, the Word of God makes it very, very clear to us that he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And he is in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for him, this one whom Chinyama accepted as his Lord and Savior. So, it's a simple story, isn't it? But it's a true one, and I thank the Lord for the opportunity he gave to me, sent this man right to me in order to help him come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've had the joy of leading others to the Lord, but not quite as dramatically as that. And I thank the Lord for this little story, and I hope it will mean something to you. There's just another verse or two that I'd like to give you. So far as things go, even at his best, Chinyama was a poor man. The few things he had could have been bought for very, very little. He had his fields, and he had his wife, and so on. He had nothing in order, in other words, to use to buy his salvation. But can a person buy his salvation? It's impossible. Cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, says the Lord. You cannot buy salvation. And neither could Chinyama. But remember this. We're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, and Peter goes on to say, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But we are saved with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Chinyama had nothing to give. God didn't ask anything of him, because God the Father gave to us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. So I think that there is something here for all of us. Most of us in this room have already found peace with God through Christ. But don't forget, the man next door needs the gospel too. The man in that taxi needed the gospel. I didn't give it to him. I didn't like him. So many times we fail in this respect. May the Lord help us. But if there's one here today who has not found this wonderful peace which is in Jesus Christ, I think I made it very clear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whether it be you or Chinyama, should not perish, but have everlasting life. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift which you have given to us, your only begotten Son, died, shed his blood, that we might live. We thank you for the many that we have talked to and met who found peace in you. And yet we're reminded, Lord, the many thousands who know nothing of peace with yourself. We thank you that you have made us ambassadors of the grace of God. And we ask that you will help us to consider, those of us who know you as personal Savior, the debt we have to those who know you not. Be with us as we separate and bring us in this evening again, if it be your will. For we ask it in your name. Amen.